TED Talks are basically talks about ideas, and they are delivered on stages around the world at TED events. There are two big TED events that happen every year, one in Long Beach and one in Edinburgh or Oxford, and they switch off. And then there are hundreds of smaller independent events called TEDx events. And what happens is people get on stage and they talk about an idea. I mean, an idea that is related to what they do or what they study or what they teach, and they last 18 minutes. So a lot of the speakers are academics, and then a lot of the speakers are just people that, are just really interested and knowledgeable about something. There's a talk that was given recently on a TEDx stage by a supermodel talking about why young women should never go into the profession. And then you have talks about justice and about the justice, about the way we deliver justice in America and the problems of that. I mean, so the range of these talks is extraordinary. There are about 10,000 different talks that you can watch at TED.com. And over the past, I think, 5 or 6 years, they've been viewed by 1 billion people. So what we have done, what we're doing on NPR, is partnering with TED, and we find the talks we love, and we find the subjects we love, and we build a show around that theme. So I will be the host. I am the host. And what we do is we find these talks, and then we re-interview the person who gave that talk. So the idea behind it is that you'll hear some of their talk, but we're also going to sort of take you behind the stage and sit down on the couch with that speaker and take a deeper dive and take a look and a listen at what the other things they're thinking about and trying to say.
How do you all decide on that part of it? I mean, as you say, there are thousands of talks
right
out there. How do you all kind of hone in on the ones that are kind of leaping up at you?
It's really hard because it's subjective, right? I mean, as I have always said to interns and younger people at NPR, radio is an art, not a science. You can't create a formula and say, well, this actually fits that formula. It's really just about a talk that strikes us, something that hits us in a way that other talks might not. You know, it might hit us emotionally, or it might make us laugh. It might make us think. It might change the way we see the world. And that's what's amazing about a lot of these TED Talks, is that you finish watching them, and in my case, a part of the way I see the world changes. You know, if for example, there was a talk about happiness. It's a really well-known talk. And when it was over, and the speaker talks about how, you know, we have all this choice. And actually, dozens of years or decades of research have shown that the more choices you have, actually, the less happy you are. And every time I'm at the supermarket or in a comparable place, and I just see, you know, all of the options I have for ketchup or salad dressing or something like that, I always think about that talk and about how all of these choices are wonderful but also very complex. So so we really it's a small group of us. There are 6 of us at NPR who are producing this show, and we operate like a startup lab. You know, we sit in a large room and we throw ideas around and bounce ideas around and watch a lot of TED Talks and then try and figure out how we can make that into a show.
Now, you have been the host of Weekend All Things Considered, and folks on KUT are going to recognize you from that. And you have left that to become the host of TED Radio Hour. The new incarnation is going to start next month. Why did you decide to make that change?
You know, Jennifer, I was in news my whole career, and I love news. I mean, this is why I came to NPR. And I was overseas as a foreign correspondent. I got to cover war and peace and everything in between. And I loved hosting Weekend All Things Considered and All Things Considered for almost 4 years. It was an incredible experience and an amazing chance to do things with news and to do things with storytelling that I hadn't been able to do before. But, you know, this is an opportunity that doesn't come around very often. To get to partner with an organization like TED is huge for NPR and for me personally. I mean, they have a very similar way of seeing the world that we do, you know, that we have a responsibility and a role in creating conversations. You know, how often do people say to you, oh my God, this amazing thing I heard on public radio or on KUT.
Oh, sure, yeah. Uh-huh.
It happens all the time, right? And or might even a week later, a month later, and that's what this sort of is part of. It's part of that archipelago of ideas that we are presenting on public radio. But to be able to work with TED content is an incredible opportunity. And it's really the first time that NPR is taking this leap and partnering with another organization to create a co-produced show. And so that, to me, was what was so attractive about it, that entrepreneurial spirit, that kind of startup ethos that we've created with this show. So I decided to take the leap. And you know, it's a new world for me because I'm not in news and I still read the papers all the time. I'm constantly following the news. I'm obsessed with it. But this is a much deeper challenge because we have to think about content, about news content, about ideas and stories in ways that aren't pegged to anything that we in the news business might be talking about. So it's exciting. It's incredibly exciting.
The first episode of the weekly episodes that you're going to be hosting, the topic is The Unquiet Mind. Tell us a little bit about what's in that episode and what you all found when you were putting this one together.
Jennifer, have you ever asked yourself, am I crazy? Am I going crazy?
Oh, sure. Right? Who hasn't asked themselves that? I mean,
who
really?
Who hasn't asked themselves? Unless you are totally, absolutely, you know, just a kind of a freak of nature. I mean, at some point, I think everybody, and certainly anybody who sort of thinks about themselves or the world, asks that question: Am I going crazy? Am I crazy actually? And the first show that your listeners will hear is an exploration of that space between madness and sanity. You know, that place, that gray area that many of us dip in and out of over the course of our lives. And it may be because we haven't slept enough or we're very stressed out or something happened or nothing happened. You just experience something that is not easy. And in this episode, we hear from the incredible neurologist Oliver Sacks, who we went and spent a day with in New York, and he talks about hallucinations and about how a huge percentage of people around the world have them regularly, you know, and they are not drug-induced, they're not induced by any kind of prescription drugs, they just happen. And in fact, he talked about how they happen by talking about them. And what was amazing, and this is, I'm going to reveal something to you. Which is that while we were working on that show and I was spending so much time with Oliver Sacks and thinking about hallucinations, I had one. It was in the middle of the night. I thought it was my cat at the foot of our bed who often sleeps in our bed with us. And it was sort of moving in a kind of this infinity shape, just constantly moving, and I thought, "Wow, that's strange. What is she playing with?" And I went to just reach over to her, and there was nothing there, and it was amazing. Hmm. And so this, you know, it happens to many people when you close your eyes. The shapes that you see, those are hallucinations. So the show is about that. It's about we have stories about this incredible woman named Ellen Sacks, who is not related to Oliver. She was diagnosed with schizophrenia when she was 21, told that she would spend the rest of her life in a mental facility, and she is today the assistant dean at the USC School of Law. So an incredible story. And that show is really about that place and about this place that many of us sometimes find ourselves in, and it's about how it's in some ways almost abnormal not to ask yourself that question.
Well, one thing, Guy, that seems clear to me listening to you talk about the show and listening to the TED Talks before is that this is not really passive listening. I mean, this is really not something you can necessarily do while you're multitasking and doing a bunch of other things.
Yeah.
This requires kind of an investment on the part of the listener because this is meaty stuff.
Totally. And, you know, we have this thing that we wrote on our whiteboard in our office, and it says, does it pass the trouser cuff test, which is what I say is, well, it's when I'm in the morning, when I'm cooking breakfast and making lunch for my children, and my four-year-old's tugging at my pants saying, daddy, 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 and then the radio's on, daddy, and do I tune out from the radio, or do I say to my son, Henry, hold on, go back to the dining room. I'll be with you in a moment. Daddy's listening to something. And so the goal is that every show passes that test, that it begins in such a way that you have to stay with it, because you are brought into a world and into a story that grabs you right away.
Guy Raz is the new host of TED Radio Hour. You can hear it Saturdays at 2 here on KUT. And Guy, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Jennifer.